Self-Disruptive Innovation Podcast. It's Ashley Tajay.
Hey, everybody. It's Tosh.
Hey, my disruptives. It's Miss Nikki.
Yes. So how we feeling today? Happy Saturday.
Feeling good. Feeling great.
Woo! Yo, I was just about to say happy Friday. Like, this quarantine has me not knowing what day it is.
Right. Yo, and we coming through with a special guest.
Per usual, yes. Please introduce yourself, special guest.
Hey, I'm King Feek. Y'all can just call me Darius because y'all know me personally.
Yes. Hey, Darius. How you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling pretty good, you know. It was really nice outside.
Yes. So,
yeah, you know.
Yes. Full advantage of this day. Awesome. Right.
Absolutely. So so we always start our podcast with like an icebreaker, like a would you rather question or like some crazy cool question. So today, Tosh got a good question for you.
Okay, so this is the question. If you had to do a collab with just a feature on one rapper's album, and you only have a choice between Jay-Z and Nas, which one would you pick?
Who's the choice? Jay-Z and who else?
Nas.
That's a good one. I'm gonna go Nas.
And why?
For a very short period of time, I actually lived in Southside Jamaica, Queens. I have a lot of family that lives out there. So both Nas and Jay-Z are like, you know, God MCs or whatever. But can you hear me?
There we go.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah. I lived in Queens for a very short period of time. I have family that lives out there. And so, you know, like, I'm a little bit more connected with Queens.
Got you.
With that being said, both Nas and Jay-Z are like God and MCs. Nothing wrong with that. It just, you know, I feel like, you know, I always like to go for the underdog, you know? And, you know, Nas is just, you know, somebody who I feel like I might be able, you know, to get a feature with probably first.
Got you.
You know, realistically.
Got you. Okay.
Definitely. I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, that's a good choice, though.
It is a great choice. Yeah. That would have been my
choice. Yeah. Absolutely. I agree. And we got to have a part two to the question. So, all right. So, if you could have anybody feature on your album, but it's got to be a New York artist, right now, you can pick anybody. So, old, new, anybody. Who would it be?
Oh man, dead or alive?
Yeah,
okay, let's go ahead, do it.
You know, if I had any choice, you know, I wouldn't even want a major artist like that. I'm gonna choose my homie Chris, you know, the husband. Yes, that's the truth. That's truth. Okay. You know, it goes. You know, because you know what it is too. Let me tell you why though. You know, a lot of these artists, you know, like, I've been spitting for a few years now and everything, you know, learning the business side of everything, you know, it's crazy. A lot of these artists are Hollywood, you know, for real. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, like, yeah, they Hollywood. They don't like to work together. And you realize a lot of people don't like to even put up their own money for a lot of stuff. And, you know, so you know what? I don't even care about like how big of a name you are or whatever. Like, that's dope or whatever. But so what? I already know my boy Chris from, you know, from back in the day. He used to get busy for real. So, you know, if I can get a verse from Chris, it would for real. That would be big for me. You know?
That's dope. Quality, right?
Okay, that's what's up. I got a message on that one. So, okay, and all right, we're going to get
please,
into it.
Please,
tell the people, you know, obviously, if you guys haven't picked up by now, we have a local artist, that we definitely want to support, quote unquote, in the building, King Feek. Where can they find you?
Yes. King Feek at everything. KingFeek.com, King Feek on YouTube, King Feek Instagram, Twitter. So yeah.
Oh, that's what's up. So same name, King.
Easy. All right. Yeah. So we're definitely out here. Yeah. Is there anybody in New York that you listen to right now? Like, who are you listening to?
It's a mixture, you know, one day it's old school rap. The next day is, I don't want to say too much of the new school. Like, you know, I'm not too crazy, no disrespect, but I'm just not, you know, like, now don't get me wrong. It's some of the young guys like Joey Badass, who's like, joints, right. Like, you know, like I fucks with Joey Badass, you know, but you know, some of the people in his age group, I'm just not crazy about, no disrespect. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but then, you know, the very next day, I'm into my R&B bag.
Talk about it.
You know, I like to, yeah, you know, I go from something from, like, you know, something what my parents will listen to, something to my grandparents will listen to something, you know, like we was talking a little bit early, you know, like, I don't mind listening to Summer Walker. I don't mind listening to, you know, I could rock with some of that. And don't get me wrong, I like that dude from Philly. What's his name? The rapper from Philly. What's his name? Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course, Meek. Yeah, it's a young boy, young dude. Damn, I can't think of his name.
Is it PNB Rap?
Yeah, it is. I don't mind. Yeah, you know, like, I can listen to some of his stuff, you know?
Yes, B&B is dope.
Right, so, yeah, it's a few young artists out there that's dope.
So, you're versatile, which is good.
That's what's up. That's definitely what's up. So, where are you from? Tell the people where you're from. I know you said you was in Queens for a little bit of time, but where do you claim? Where are you from?
Originally from Harlem. Okay. Originally from Harlem. I grew up in Peekskill a lot of the times, and then, you know, we came up to Beacon, and that's where, you know, I met Chris and everything.
Oh, that's...
And, you know, the rest of the crew, yeah.
Okay. So we know where you're from. We know where to find you. How long have you been doing music for?
About 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Rapping for myself, yeah. About 10 years. Do you mind if I give a little backstory? Because, matter of fact, and Chris knows this as well, a little backstory. So, back when I was like 19 or whatever, I started interning for a girl who's named Amber.
Okay.
You know, she really taught me the ropes, you know, a lot of behind the scenes stuff. Amber, her name is Amber Ravenel. I hope she don't get mad at me for putting her out of her government. But she had her own label, Ravenel Records, and she had an artist from Brooklyn named Nina B, a female rapper. Super dope. Yeah, super dope and everything. You know, I learned all her lyrics. I used to go on stage with her, be a hype man. Yeah, super dope. And Amber had a meeting. She had two meetings. She had one in the city, in Manhattan, and she also had one in Houston, Texas. But the one in Houston was way bigger. She sent me to the meeting that she couldn't make in the city. I went there. I met a lot of people and everything. And it just so happened, this other promoter who I didn't even know about, he seen me and everything. Like, he used to see me for months or for a few years or whatever. And the dude from the meeting that I went to, I met this guy named Buddha.
Okay.
I met this guy named Buddha. He used to work at Interscope.
Oh.
He just liked my approach. I was just nice. I didn't do anything special, but, you know, just say hi. My name is Darius. At the time, I was a music producer, and I was just like, I just wanted to know if I can get your number or whatever. He just liked my approach, and he told me that. He's like, yo. He's like, it's a lot of knuckleheads out here. They don't know how to talk to people, but just because your approach is nice, here's my cell phone.
That's crazy.
And he's like, call me. Yeah, he was like, call me anytime. I literally called this dude probably like 3 months later, you know?
Okay.
I called him after I got off work. He hit me, and, you know, he knew exactly who I was. He was like, yeah. He was like, yo, come up to the office. Yo, you been said you was going to come up here and get some samples. He was like, yo, I got some joints for you. And I was like, all right, cool. I was like, yo, I just got off of work. He was like, it don't even matter, fam. Just come up here. I went straight up there and everything. I was in his office for like 2 or 3 hours, just waiting. He was just busy.
Oh wow.
He was just super busy, whatever. And he didn't get to me till like 2 or 3 hours. He was like, "Oh, here's these samples you can use to make some beats or whatever. Just hit me back when you're done with them." The dude that was his assistant at the time, I swear, God is good, man. God just told me to walk on 42nd Street. Yeah, all the time. Yo, I'm on 42nd Street all the time. It's nothing. It was nothing for me, you know? But this one particular day, he told me just to go on 42nd Street, like this one particular time. Guess who I run into? His assistant that I met a couple of days ago. And he's like, "Yo, you that kid that was in the office?" He's like, "Yo, you must be special, because," he's like, "I see people in and out the office. They're not even there for 15 minutes. He was like, "Yo, you was there for a few hours." He said, "I don't know much about you, but I'm going to introduce you to somebody." And he introduced me to this guy named Kevin. And I used to work for Kevin for like, I think, about five years. I worked for Kevin.
Producing?
At the time, we was over at J Records.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we hear you.
Hello? At the time, we used to work over at J Records.
Pause 1 second.
Can you hear me now?
There we go. Say it again.
There you go. At the time, I used to work for a guy named Kevin. Kevin currently still to this day, he don't work for J Records, but he works for RCA Records.
Oh wow!
Right now, currently, yeah, I still got Kevin's number. I can hit him up directly on the cell and everything.
Oh, that's what's up.
So what I mean, like,
you've been doing this for like a long time. I used to in the game for a long time.
You know, I used to do it, but that was back in the day, and that was on the promotion side. Okay. You know, I was running the street teams. Yeah.
Yo, that's crazy. So, were you able to take a lot of that into your artistry? Like, do you feel like you know the game better now because you've been on?
Well, the game changed as far as like the whole street team and everything. That's because of the internet. It changed everything. I definitely learned a lot. The connections that I used to make, and you know, like just being 19, 20 at the time, and you know, to be able to walk into Clyde Davis' office.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Company. I didn't actually walk in his actual office, but you know, but just to walk in there as a 20-year-old,
wow,
and to have the executives, you know who you are, at least know your face. They might even know me by name, but just to know your face, and just, yo, that was. Like I said, Chris knows some of the story. You know, Chris can tell you. But yeah, so that was my taste into the industry, and I have a ton of more stories, but I'm gonna save that for another.
No, I think it's all good. We love it for sure. Like the business part. Like, I don't know. Like, have you ever had to do anything like that you didn't want to do? Like, is the business part janky like that or what?
Well, I mean, I didn't. I mean, but also at the same time, before I had that job, I used to work at the movie theaters on Lowe's on 42nd Street, and I seen Kurt Loder come into the theater, and you know, I just asked him, "How can I get into the business?" And he told me, he was like, "Yo, you're gonna go to somebody and you're gonna tell them you're gonna work for free." But that's what he told me. So he was like, "You're gonna go and you're gonna work for free, and you're gonna bust your ass, you're not gonna bitch or moan, and you're gonna be on time." And he said, "It's going to take a few years." He said, "It's going to take a few years, but somebody's going to get a promotion or they're going to get fired. And because you was always there every day on time doing your fucking job, you're going to get the promotion for that job. And that's how it's going to happen." So, you know, when it comes to certain stuff, like when I used to work for Amber, I never got paid.
Wow.
But I never got paid, but to learn the business, to learn about promotions.
Yes, I understand.
I mean, you really can't take that away. And if it wasn't for her, before I even met my boss, Kevin, he knew who I was for like a year or two.
Gotcha.
He used to see me all the time. And he told me, he was like, "Yo, man, you know, like, he's like, yo, I've been seeing you. I've been peeping you. You was all over the city, you know? So if it wasn't for Amber giving me the opportunity to learn under her, even though she needed help or whatever, it was still an opportunity for me to learn the business.
Gotcha. Understand.
Yeah. And that's dope. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, so when it comes to, like, money or whatever, when it comes to certain cases, and this is my fault, ultimately, my falling out with Kevin was because of money. You know, like, I was getting paid, and, yeah, I know it's crazy, but there was a lot of things that was happening. You know, I was talking to my mom. I was living with my aunt at the time, and my aunt was like, nah, fuck that shit. You know, he's fucking up your money. You know, he's like, you doing his job anyway, and then some, you know, because I was pretty much like the, I was literally running his company. You know, he just like, yo, you got this and this in Brooklyn. We got this event downtown. We got to do this for Interscope. You know, it was a lot. So, yeah. So I was literally running his company, you know, but as far as, you know, I was talking to somebody else in the industry, and they said, yo, you just paying your dues, man. You know, that's what you just got to do, you know, to get on, you know.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I mean, it all depends how you look at it.
That's what's up, though. So, All right. So when you started doing shows and stuff like that, I guess what's one of your most memorable shows that you've ever done?
Oh man, the biggest one that I probably ever done was the one with DJ Absolute.
Okay. Where was it?
It was in Manhattan, lower Manhattan, and a couple of executives there. But I mean, I take that back. The biggest show that I ever did was the one out in Jersey. I forget what part. It was out in Jersey, and it's with this guy named DJ Tarzan, who now works for This Is 50.
Okay.
Yeah, he now works for This Is 50. This was the very first fucking show I ever did where I went first.
Ooh,
usually,
all right, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
It had
thing,
to.
Though? You like going first?
I love it because I love it because you get to set the standard. You get to set the mood.
Yeah.
You know, so I come prepared.
Okay.
You know, and so let me. Oh man. It had to be at least 200-300 people artists there. It was cool. It was crazy. And yeah, so when I got, first of all, I had this girl I was dating at the time. She was there. My cousin who lived in Jersey, my cousin Latoya, she was there. And so, you know, I'm buying them drinks and everything. You know, this is their first time meeting, you know, the girl I was dating and my cousin. So, I'm trying to entertain them, make sure they good. And then I just hear my name.
Oh.
Fee, come to the stage. You up first.
Yeah,
I'm like, what? You know, I was at the bar. I was literally at the bar getting drinks. And so I was like, so, you know, they calling me a few times. I'm like, oh, shit. So, you know, I go up to the stage. By the way, DJ Envy was supposed to be there. He came, but he was just late. He was there, so he didn't see my performance. Usually, out of like 200 people, I'm probably like 80 that's going on. You know, it's always something crazy like that. You know, I always got to wait 2 hours before I go on stage. But this, for whatever reason, I was number one. So yeah, DJ Envy wasn't there. However, I did such a great job. DJ Tarzan, who set up the event, he pulled me to the side after I was done. He said, whatever you do, do not leave. I'm going to personally introduce you to DJ Envy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah. So I didn't get a chance to meet Envy, the girl I was dating at the time. You know, she was like, yo, you know, it was like 3:30 in the morning. She was like, yo, it's going to take us like an hour and a half to get back. And she's like, yo, I got to get ready.
Yo, you let
going to work and everything.
The right time.
Yo, it was.
That's all.
Yo, She was already having problems with her job and everything, and she was like, yo, I cannot let these people, you know, get the best of me or try to fuck me over, you know, or whatever. And I was just,
yo, that's when you call a cab, get her a bus, get her over.
Yo, it was, yeah.
They have Ubers back then.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Yeah, this was a few years ago. Right. This, and so, but like, just the, you know, just the, for him to pull me to the side and say, yo, I love your shit. He said, whatever. And he kept, it was like, damn, they're begging me. Whatever you do, don't leave until I introduce you to him first. And I was just like, wow. Like, I couldn't even believe it. And I remember going to my cousin and telling her, like, yo, that's what this motherfucker just said to me. And she, you know? So, it felt good.
Oh, yeah.
That had to be, like, one of the best films.
That's crazy.
Yeah, definitely. So then I have one more question, right? Just about music.
Uh-huh.
So, do you have a, like, being, since, like, you've been rapping for 10 years, do you feel like it's hard to, like, stay consistent with the sound? Do you feel like you're forced to have to stay consistent with the new sound coming in? Or do you feel like it's better just to stay true to what you started with and what works for you?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah, good question. I think you gotta stay true to yourself. I mean, I think ultimately, the sound, in my opinion, is always coming back to the essence.
Okay.
You know, when like the golden area, that 90s, 2000 area, regardless of what it sound like right now, you know, like if you listen to a lot of these interviews and if you listen to a lot of the premier artists, like matter of fact, I was just saying J. Cole is one of my favorite artists. He does not, I mean, with the exception of his latest album that he came out with, his previous body of work does not fit within this new era and how they sound. However, he is super successful. Even Kendrick Lamar, even Wale, even Big Sean. So I mean, I can name so many other artists that's you know on their level that's like that. That's not doing this new era type of thing. Like I said, I don't even want to like downplay it or make it seem like, oh, it's not good or whatever. It's just, I just think that
it's not
just
what we grew up with.
That's just right.
That makes sense.
You know, when you talk about legends, when you talk about classic albums, even, and I'm not even going to even talk about album sales. I'm just talking about good music. When you ask people that top 10, top 20, top 50, even top 100, none of these new artists, besides like the J. Cole's or whatever, that's literally out in our age group.
Bro, I don't know though. There are some dumb people out here that be putting some crazy ass top 20s, like some of these magazines and shit. I don't know.
But you
know what? Also, at the same time, they also not respected either. You know?
Okay.
They also not respected. You know?
Yeah.
So.
No, but that was
right. But if you.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm gonna ask you one last music question because I feel like I have to. You can only keep one crew, right? And all their music. You get either one or the other. Are you taking G Unit or are you taking Dipset?
That's crazy. Oh man, that's listen. You know what?
I know it is.
That's a tough one. I want to say, listen. So let me try to break this down real quick. I want to go with Dipset because that's home team. You know, that's Harlem.
Yeah.
You know, that's Harlem. You have, you know, rest in peace, Big L. You have the Digging in the Crates crew, which Big L comes from. You have the, I mean, you know, Santana. I mean, obviously Dipset. You have Damon Dash. Although a lot of people say he's an asshole or whatever,
which is true.
You can never discredit the shit that he's done for rap or something.
Yeah, for real.
You know? Also with Cameron, besides his music or whatever, the business aspect.
He's an icon. A lot of them, like the fashion icon, the way people talk back then,
that's true.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, like Joel Santana,
oh my God,
in his own right, you know, shaped, you know, like, I mean, just the, you know, the influence that he had, you know, like Dipset, just the whole Dipset, just the influence that they had. So, you know, although I lived in Southside Jamaica, Queens, although I lived there and, you know, like, I think Banks is such the fucking dude. Like, you know? Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and I think Tony Yayo is super underrated. I feel like he has, so I mean, I'm just gonna go with Dipset just because that's the home team. And I'm gonna go with Dipset because you know what? I actually met Damon Dash. And you know what I met Damon Dash when I was a producer. And I used to work for Foot Action on 34th Street. And on this one particular day, it was in the summertime, you know, on my lunch break, I had to take a late lunch break. I'm walking up the block. I see Damon Dash. And I said, I'm super excited because, you know, I'm like, oh, shit, you know, I only have another, like, 15 minutes before I have to go back to work. And so, you know, so I'm like, yo, Damon, yo, I'm a music producer or whatever. And he's like, I was like, yo, do you mind if I send you some beats? And he's like, he pointing to his Maybach, you know? And I'm like, oh, shit. He's like, nah, man, let me hear some shit right now. He said, you know what? If your shit is hot, everybody going here. But he said, if your shit is wet, everybody going here, and I'm a clown.
Oh.
And, you know, yeah, he gave me the opportunity right then and there. And I didn't have beats on me because I was at work. I'm in a uniform and everything. And he was just like, just off of that. And, you know, I was like, yo, I don't have beats but on me. And he's like, yo, you should always carry shit on you at all times.
Gotcha.
I always had beats on me at all times. Gotcha. I never was really running into people. Yeah. As soon as you stop, like a week later, I meet Damon. You know? And so, you know, he was like, yo, you see that guy in the red jacket? Walking down the block, tell him I sent you, get his information, he'll take care of everything.
Oh, wow. So
yeah. So I met up with another producer and, you know, I gave him all my information and everything. And yeah, but it didn't go too far, but he did reach out to me. Right. But so just off of that.
You're going to go with this.
Yeah. Because he kept birds.
Got you. Okay. And that's fair. Yeah.
For real. Most certainly. I know I said that was the last music question, but I promise you this is the actual last one. You get to play one show.
All right.
What show are you playing? Of your choice. It could be.
Of my choice?
Like a concert. It could be a venue. It could be a music festival. You're playing one big show. Where are you playing?
Good question. Coachella, I guess. Coachella, or Rolling Loud.
Yeah. That's a big crowd.
Energy.
Right.
Diverse. Very diverse.
So you're ready to get into the shits?
Right. All right,
let's get into the shits.
Right. Yeah.